My guest at this time is John Guandolo. He's a former FBI agent and creator of the Bureau's first counterterrorism training program. He's also the co-author of Raising a Jihadi Generation. His website is understandingthethreat.com. He's also a U.S. Naval Academy graduate, a veteran of the Gulf War, where he was a Marine Corps officer. He says, as horrific as the Orlando terrorist attack was on Sunday, we can actually expect something far worse if we continue on our present course. And John, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, the instant reaction, of course, to Orlando is that it was the worst mass shooting in American history. There's been some historical updates to suggest there have been some that are worse. But still, in modern times, it's certainly right up there. It's way more casualties than San Bernardino, for example, which, of course, shocked the conscience of the nation. So why do you believe what could be coming is far worse if we stay on this course?
Since 9/11, we have failed to actually identify the threat in any professional manner at the national security level. We have yet to identify in any of our national security documents, identify the real threat, and either in our strategic planning documents or our national security documents. And what that leads to is what we've seen in the last 15 years. We lost Iraq and Afghanistan. We have an incoherent domestic counterterrorism strategy, and our foreign policy is upside down to where we're literally supporting, to the tune of over $100 billion, the largest state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, on the planet. I don't know what you would call that other than just catastrophic failure, and the reason is because we haven't identified the threat. This jihadi, Omar Mateen, was committing jihad that was lawful under Sharia Islamic law. And the global Islamic movement says that it's going to begin its turn from its total focus on the Islamic world, where it is seeking to impose Sharia Islamic law on the Muslim world first and then on the non-Muslim world. And that turn is going to begin this year, potentially into early 2017, but likely before the end of this year. And when it does, that means instead of a couple people in San Bernardino, several people in Brussels, and a lone shooter in Orlando, you're going to have dozens of jihadis doing multiple operations in conjunction with the Marxists and socialists of groups like Black Lives Matter, which will be, you know, burning and looting cities like they did in Ferguson and Baltimore. And if those events are precipitated, which they likely will be, from a cyber attack, a power grid attack to where power is lost in several states, or something similar to that, then it's going to be truly much, much more horrific.
John, let's talk about the way it should be and the way it is. You mentioned that the enemy, even after nearly 15 years since 9/11, is not properly defined in our national security documents. How are they currently defined, and how should they be defined?
Well, 100% of the enemy that we are facing, whether it's Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, nation states, or any of the jihadis that we've picked up on the battlefield or who have participated in plots, whether they've been successful or not, here in the United States, 100% say that they are jihadis waging jihad in the cause of Allah in order to impose Sharia and establish the Islamic State. So they say that not only is the doctrine that they're fighting for Sharia, but their blueprint for everything they do is Sharia, how they fight. And the fact that we're not teaching our federal agents, our combat warriors, about Sharia is why one of the reasons that we're so catastrophically failing in identifying the threat. So the threat doctrine is Sharia, and anybody who subscribes to Sharia and seeks to impose it on others is the threat.
Let's talk a little bit about what we've seen from the FBI in the past few days, since you're a veteran of the Bureau. We saw the director, Jim Comey, say on Monday that even though the Bureau had at least two, maybe three different investigations into Omar Mateen, that ultimately they determined he was not a threat. Now we find out from reporters in Orlando that Disney contacted the FBI back in April because they believed a person who ended up being Mateen and his wife were casing the place, but it doesn't appear the FBI acted on that either. Comey says there's nothing more that could have been done. What's your read?
Well, that's nonsense. But I would say if we knew that the 9/11 hijackers were jihadis getting ready to do something, FBI would have surveilled them right up to the time they got on the planes, and we would have had surveillance waiting for them in the arrival, city. That's part of the problem. So there are a couple problems here. The first is total ignorance of the FBI leadership as to this problem. He said in his comments that they were still trying to confirm a motive. That should be a huge red flag for anybody listening to him or reading the transcript of his comments, that he is clueless. If you understand this threat, you understand as soon as it happened what it was. It was a Muslim waging jihad, and of course, as it turns out, that's exactly what it was. When the young student at the University of California, Merced, had to be shot and killed by police, and he was stabbing people, I wrote an article explaining that he was a jihadi, and the Muslim Brotherhood and the left, and the media and the left came after me and said, you're just every Muslim that does something, you say it's jihad. Well, actually, in that case, the FBI came out a couple months ago and said it was jihad. Just like the Muslim who attacked a police officer in New York City with an axe, that's jihad. The guy with a machete in Ohio who went into the restaurant owned by a Arab Christian, went in there and started hacking people up, that was jihad. The woman in Las Vegas, the Muslim woman who was plowing over people with her car, or the guy in Fremont, California, plowing over people with a car, or the Muslim at the University of North Carolina plowing over people with his car while screaming Allahu Akbar, that's jihad. That's individual jihad. It's part of the law of jihad. But the FBI leadership doesn't know it because they've never actually trained on it. The only time they got a training program on it was in 2006 when I created that program and gave it to 50 agents from various agencies, including the Joint Terrorism Task Force from about 12 different offices and a whole bunch of other folks. But since then, the programs like it and by people who I trained have all been shut down because it's not politically correct, because the Muslim community said it offended them. Well, of course it offends them because it identifies the leadership of the Muslim community as being members of the Muslim Brotherhood's network here, whose stated goal is civilization jihad. And I just encourage Americans have got to wake up to this immediately, because this is going to go downhill rapidly in the next 12 to 16 months.
Let's talk about this in a couple different ways. First of all, how is the public going to wake up? Because you've been saying this for years. Others who agree with you have been saying this for years. But there are others who are obviously saying very different things, including the President of the United States. So how is this going to break through in a way that it hasn't broken through already?
Well, it has to work at the local level. We're finding great success at the local level, taking the message directly to citizens and law enforcement. And when you walk them through what's actually going on, well, then they get it. And when local law enforcement gets this, what we are seeing at the local level in those counties and areas where we are working with them is significant change. Their officers are now seeing things through the lens of somebody who actually understands, and stuff that they were seeing before but couldn't put into context, they're now able to put into context. And that's what I'm talking about. Now they know that this Islamic center over here or this Islamic organization in my city, in my town, is actually a jihadi organization based on facts and evidence. Cops get that. There's as close to a 100% get rate, like an understanding rate among people that go to the understanding the threat training, because it's so simple. We lay out the facts. We lay out the network of the United States. Police understand it. And then when we show them that this is what Sharia says, that these guys are simply doing what Sharia requires, then it really locks them into understanding. Because once you understand that, it changes how you do interviews, interrogations, basic investigations, when you do search warrants, when you stop somebody in a vehicle stop for a traffic violation or whatever. What you see and how they talk to you, you know how to interpret with a lens of somebody who actually understands the threat.
Last question, and going back to what you said a couple moments ago about the FBI, even after 15 years, still not looking for the right things in stopping these terrorists. What are they looking for instead? That's incorrect.
Well, I'll give you an example. If I'm clueless and I'm an FBI agent and I'm talking to Omar Mateen, I know what kind of questions the FBI is asking because they used to have us ask the same questions, and I didn't ask the questions that FBI headquarters told us to ask. We would ask questions based on my knowledge of Sharia. So if you ask a guy who tomorrow is going to take a suicide vest and walk into the FBI office and blow himself up, and if you had him sitting there and you said, are you a terrorist? And do you know of any acts of terrorism that are being planned? And he were on a polygraph and he said, no, I don't. He would register as being truthful, being not being deceptive. Because in Islam, a terrorist is somebody who kills a Muslim without right. Whereas if you ask the question, are you a jihadi? Are you aware of any jihadi plots or any actions to support the jihad in the immediate future? And he said no, then he would register deceptive. See, something as simple as that, 99.9% of law enforcement don't understand because they see the world and view the world through the lens of Sharia. So the way they use language, to them, suicide is unlawful. But to blow yourself up in the jihad and kill non-Muslims, that's to become a shaheed, a martyr, and it's the only way to guarantee you go to paradise. So we need to understand how to speak to them. We don't even know how to interview these guys. And it's why we've failed time and again. And here's the last point I'll make. If our terrorism strategy is close or on the mark, why have we completely failed our domestic terrorism strategy, our foreign policy, losing the wars in Iraq, as I said, and Afghanistan? How did that happen? It happens because we are totally and catastrophically off of our war fighting game. And this is a war. This is not a law enforcement action.
John, unfortunately, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
John Guandolo is a former FBI agent and creator of the Bureau's first counterterrorism training program. He's the co-author of Raising a Jihadi Generation, and his website is understandingthethreat.com. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.